Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. I'm still spellbound with that first interview we had, as Gene Andrews was too. Me and Gene, during the break, we were saying every time we think we've seen the low, that the bottom of the United States government, the criminal cabal in Washington, D.C., we think, well, we've seen the worst. It can't get any worse. Well, if you've able to hear this last hour, even though we were breaking up, and I'd just like to say, I know we're having trouble with our internet tonight, but the archive will be crystal clear tomorrow. They're generally up early in the morning. We get a really, really good deal from our webmaster, so we don't push him. He'll get them up at his leisure, but they're all, just about always up by early Sunday morning. You need to listen to that. Like Gene said, there is no bottom for the corruption, the evil, the Satanism in the United States government. Well, people, as you know, we're transitioning into the second hour, and I told you we had a surprise guest on. For one thing, we have my baby sister, Miss Monica Schaefer, on, and her dear brother, Alfred, who's recently released from prison. You know all about it. And we're going to try to get him on. Like we said, our internet was busting up. We couldn't get him on the computer. But he's going to call in on our special line. We're hoping that works because, man, he has a story to tell, talking about corruption in government. You know, I think the only difference is between here in Europe, where they're arresting people in Europe for crime think and thought and speak crime. Crime speak, crime thought crime. The only difference is they don't do it and they don't come and arrest you for that. Here in the United States, they just kill you. They make up laws as they go here in this country. The law means, and I know I'm preaching to the preacher, but the laws, I mean, let's give me a break, people. We have no law in this country. It's just like Mao Zedong said. I mean, and George Washington said it with 250 years ago. The only law, he said, all law and all political power comes at the end of a gun barrel. And that's true. George Washington said it more eloquently. I won't paraphrase it like I've done a million times. But the only, there's no way to reform this government in this country right here. I don't even call it a government. We have a crime cabal here. And we have a crime cabal in Europe. It's the same old people that have been around forever that are running both countries. But anyway, people, like I just told you a minute ago, we have Miss Monica Schaefer, my sister, owned, and I think we have maybe Alfred, our brother, owned. I believe he's hooked up now. So listen, I'm going to shut up. Miss Monica, if you will, introduce your brother to the audience.
Okay, thank you. It's great to be back on the show with you, Eddie. I've been away for a few weeks, and I know you've had some special shows on the Charlottesville affair, which is extremely important. I'm so excited to be able to bring my brother on, and we've talked about that many times while he was in the gulag, so to speak, in the jail. And just probably a lot of your listeners will know the basic story, but you always have new listeners. So just to give a little bit of a rundown, who is Alfred Schaefer and, what was his big crime that he, did time for? Crime in quotation marks, but in this inverted world of ours, I guess that's when the criminals are on the outside and you meet all the good people behind the wire. So anyway, Alfred is a videographer, has made some really excellent videos, and he lives in Germany, has lived there for decades, is Canadian just like me, grew up here in Canada, and then, reverse immigrated to Germany, has been living there, like I say, for many years. And yeah, the so-called authorities didn't like the things he was telling people in his videos, basically telling the truth about what's going on in our world. To make a long story short, they locked him up and he was in jail for 4 years and just barely got out July 1st of this year. And so he has a story to tell. And really, you know, maybe we can start by Alfred. You were, especially in the first prison, you were in two different locations during that 4 years. And I remember you always remarking that you felt like you were in an African prison, but with German staff. And it was a little bit of a glimpse into the future if we don't get this right, this you know, white genocide plan that well, let's just name them, that the Jews have in mind for us. And yeah, just maybe you would like to give a little introduction of yourself and say hello and give us a little bit of a story about your prison experience. Alfred, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Monica, and thanks, Eddie, for having me on your show. Yeah, just for the listeners, I spent 4 years in this German prison, or in several different prisons here, for the crime of identifying, you know, facts and putting them together in a coherent way and getting people, trying to get people woken up. And I just got out about 7 weeks ago on July 1st. And so much to talk about, so much to say, but like Monica was saying, that my first impression when I was locked up was I felt like I was in a prison in somewhere in North Africa or someplace with German staff. I was the Germans were the absolute smallest minority there of anybody. Then there was, and you hardly ever heard the German spoken. It was just all kinds of languages, but not German. It's almost like you've taken out, like you've filled the jail, the prison, with the slum dwellers from the third world. And that is our future if we don't, reestablish our borders and reestablish our sovereignty over our own countries. There's so much to talk about, but I think what I want to just start with is just the change I noticed from the beginning of my incarceration until the end, that in the last few weeks especially, there was a dramatic change. One could just feel it and amongst the wardens as well as the prisoners, that this COVID madness is reaching ever more people. And once they understand that this is not the first big lie, this is just the 6 millionth lie, if you want. Like, I mean, we've been fed lies all the way from before we were born, and we were born into a world that was based on lies, and we've been fed these lies, and they've been hardwired into our minds, into our brains. And coming out of that is a traumatizing thing, but we have to come out of it if we want to survive. And that's why we're doing these shows and why we're doing what we're doing, because those that do nothing are going to die sooner than they can even imagine. And by doing something, yeah, sure, we might have some, experience some discomfort and fall in battle, but at least we die with a sword in our hand and not crawling on our bellies, never having understood what's going on. So I'll pass it back to Monica or Eddie and then we can start the discussion.
Yeah, no, that's really good, Alfred. You know, something that came to my attention, and I suppose we might be holding or taking this over into the next segment, the fact that we're coming up to the anniversary, the 21st anniversary of the 9/11, the false flag terror attack, which clearly was a false flag orchestrated by Israel and their minions in the United States, all those dual citizens that happen to hold high office in power. And there is a direct connection between Munich and 9/11, and since you are in the vicinity of Munich, Germany, and also there were big connections with you, and What I had in mind is that you tell us what you're talking about when you go see this, I don't know if you call it parole officer or who, but many people have asked me, oh, well, does he have any restrictions and what can Alfred talk about? And I think you should talk about that yourself, because you do go see somebody, don't you? You have to go see somebody on a regular basis, do you, Alfred?
Yeah, yes. They've, you know, 1 week before I was released, they put me in this room and to have a televised, there's a judge on the other end of the, somewhere else, and it was like a Skype call kind of thing. And this judge asked the most ridiculous things and told me or instructed me the most ridiculous things I have to do when I come out. Like, these people are straight from zombie land. And one of them is, oh, I'm not allowed to talk with anybody from the extreme right. And I said, you know, I don't talk to anybody extremely right, nor anybody extremely left. I talk to people who that are in front of me, like you are sitting in front of me now, and I'm sitting in this chair. I don't talk to extreme right or extreme left. I only talk to striped and polka-dotted people. I mean, all these expressions, are all these words to categorize people and you know, label them as bad or evil, or we can't talk to them. So I did not take anything that they told me seriously. And then they told me I have to register with the police once a month and I have a parole officer that I'm supposed to go once a month. So I told these people, I says, well, that's wonderful, because these people, my parole officers, are basically,
we have to go to a quick break, Alfred. That's the, I didn't know if you could hear that, but we'll be right back after this break to hold that thought. Dear Blood River Radio audience, family, we have this great guest. We've been waiting forever to get him on. So excited to have him on. Be right back.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, if there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people, unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Oh, God bless you, Blood River Radio family. I thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoy this treat as much as I do. What an honor to have Alfred Schaefer on, brother of Miss Monica Schaefer. I feel like Miss Monica is my sister. You all know that. But without taking up valuable airtime, we're going to go right back to Alfred. Alfred, continue on, my brother.
Okay, thank you very much, Eddie. Yeah. Okay, I was going to say that the having to appear before a parole officer once a month is actually a blessing for me, because for me, and I told them right off the bat, I says, you guys are my talking partner for this Munich Re insurance fraud thing and Larry Silverstein. The last time I brought them a DVD, or that was actually the first time I went there, I brought them a DVD from 9/11, AE 9/11 Truth, and I said, you guys have a look at this because I'm going to talk about the insurance fraud that is involved in this thing the next time I come. And then the next time was just last week, actually. And so I asked the guys, well, did you look at the DVD? And he says, oh, no, we have to give it to this the special security people. They have to check if it's okay for us to watch. So they are keeping their own people that are working in these departments from looking at anything because it has to be approved for them to look at. So they've got these flimsiest of excuses imaginable to keep them from looking at it. And then I showed them the little 2-minute video of Larry Silverstein gloating about the fact that he had the new plans for the World Trade Center on his desk already in April of 2000, which is 17 months before 9/11 happened. And I says, now, do you guys understand that, what kind of an insurance fraud this is? And I wanted to give them this video on a little USB stick. And there, once again, he says, oh, no, we cannot take a USB stick because blah, 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 blah. So basically, this whole monstrosity that is suffocating us, they use this just any excuse at all to prevent their people or anybody looking at the evidence, and then they will hunt us down just for the flimsiest of things imaginable. So this is the I call it the death matrix that is trying to suffocate us. But because this death matrix has now reached everybody, not like 9/11, it was a little bit inconvenient to go on a trip someplace because they, you know, you'd have to go through all the, you know, checkouts at the security at the airports and so forth. But the level they have now reached with injecting everybody with rat poison, this is now reaching everybody. And either people start to get involved, engage the system and do something, anything, but do something, or they're going to die. I mean, this is a do or die situation that we've come to now. And it was clear from a long time ago for people who really understood this, like, you know, Eustace Mullins or Dr. Yes. William Luther Pierce or, you know, so many other people. Yeah.
I'm all the heavy hitters. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was saying ooh and ah. I didn't want to interrupt.
Yes.
Your knowledge is you know a lot more than I thought you were going to know. But continue on, Mr. Alford.
Okay.
Brother Alford.
Yeah, like these people, some of the just a couple of the names I mentioned, but these people were individuals who had a clear understanding where this was going at a time when, for us, when I was a zombie, like my sister was a zombie, like most of us were zombies, and we grew into a zombie world. And certain people had the ability to figure this out, to see into the future where it's going, and they did what they could. And at that time, these warnings that they spelled out very clearly were kind of like they were abstract and far away, but now this is coming home. Now this is knocking on everyone's door, and we are in fact, and it's also like Eustace Mullins said when he said this before 9/11 happened. He said, "This what's happening will elicit a biological response." And when I first heard him that in a video, him saying that was well after 9/11. And it was sort of an abstract statement that didn't really hit, you know, very deep. It was kind of like just it's a statement like any other statement. But we do have to see all of this in the context of what it is, and that is a biological, an organic biological attack on our race, the white race now, because we are the best of the goyim, as they say themselves, that the best of the goyim deserve to be slaughtered. So they'll... If we failed, then the other races will all be in line for extermination after we're gone. But I'll tell you one thing I learned in prison was that by speaking clearly and without, you know, just clearly the way it is, the other races are expecting us to win because they know that we are the most capable to do it, and we are the most capable to do it. And in fact, the only reason we still exist is to get this right. I mean, there's no other reason that we are on this planet. In fact, that is the fundamental pillar on which all life is built is the will to survive, regardless of if you're an amoeba or a tree or a bird or anything at all. It's the will to survive, the will to continue, the will to live. And this indoctrination that we have been subjected to since before we were born, because our parents were born, were already indoctrinated, and that has totally rotted out our will to survive. And when you see grown people, older than little kids, and all that they're interested in is playing like little children, then they obviously have never grown up. And that's also why all the other races look at the European people and say, how could it be that the Europeans are behaving like little children, like little tiny kids? It's because that's what we've been indoctrinated to. We've had our will to survive and our understanding of what life is all about completely and totally rotted out and destroyed.
Yeah, Alfred, so...
Yeah.
Thank you for that. People that didn't look at the material that you gave them because they needed to ask permission, they are already slaves. They are already... why would they not just make their own decision and look at the stuff? They can't. They feel that they can't. They have to ask permission. They are already enslaved. I mean, it just doesn't even get any more obvious than that. And as far as, our will to live, yeah, it's been basically... We've been made guilty, made to feel guilty of everything, and so we've become self-hating. It's funny because we hear that phrase about the Jews, oh, self-hating Jews. No, they've actually turned the white people into self-hating whites, but that's changing rapidly, as like you've said, this COVID thing, that is really the boot across the neck. And that is waking people up. But but just back to this Munich connection with 9/11, you might just tell the listeners about the insurance fraud, because I don't think very many people know how very directly Munich is tied to that. Do you want to talk about that, Alfred?
Yes.
I brought that up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Larry Silverstein, I think it was about 6 or 8 weeks before the 9/11 happened, he bought insurance against terrorism. Okay. Before that, there was no terrorism insurance, and then he did all kinds. Then he also raised the rental rates and all that kind of stuff on the building, so he could factor all that into the. After 9/11, and making his calculation. And then when it happened, 9/11, then he's claimed, oh, this was not one terrorist attack, this was two terrorist attack. So he did not just claim $3.2 billion, he claimed $6.4 billion from Munich Re. And Munich Re is like an insurance company that insures insurance companies, and that's located right here in Munich. So I told my probation guys, I says, this is so convenient. It's so wonderful, actually, that you guys are now my speaking partners for this insurance fraud. And we're not talking about any ideologies. We're not talking about beliefs. We're talking about an insurance fraud. The numbers are there. And, the funny thing is that just a few days before my last visit to that probation officer, I met with some people, and there's a woman there, and she says she knew somebody who was working at Munich Re. After 9/11, and this person that was working at Munich Re, Munich Reinsurance, this person was collecting everything they could find on 9/11 and went to the highest person they could access at Munich Re and says, look at all this stuff. This is obviously, something you need to look at. And this top executive at Munich Re says, I will not look at that, and neither will you, and you will never, ever raise that subject again. Have I made myself clear? That was the response. And I told him about this also. So what we have to do when we talk to whoever we engage and whoever we talk to, we have to speak to them in a language they understand. Okay? Oh, there's music again. I see
it. Forget. This is incredible. I'm just flabbergasted. Dear people, hang on. We're going to go back to Alfred as soon as this commercial break. Be right back. I can't wait myself.
Oh, liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
The U.S. for the first time has announced it will give Ukraine Scan Eagle surveillance drones, mine-resistant vehicles, anti-armor rounds, and weapons to help Ukrainian forces regain territories and mount a counteroffensive against Russian invaders. A senior defense official told reporters that the U.S. is looking to help shape and arm the Ukrainian forces of the future as the war drags on in its sixth month. This brings the total U.S. military aid to Ukraine to about $10.6 billion since the beginning of the Biden administration. It is the 19th time the Pentagon has provided equipment from Defense Department stocks to Ukraine since August 2021. This is USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
Former Vice President Mike Pence stated that he did not take any classified information with him when he left office. Also speaking on how he calls on Attorney General Merrick Garland to disclose more information on what led authorities to conduct the search at former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate.
We can demand that they reveal why this search warrant was executed against the residence of a former president of the United States without demeaning the rank and file men and women of the FBI. And I'm going to continue to be a voice for that.
Evidence has emerged that might explain the dinosaurs' extinction.
A newly discovered impact crater 5 miles in diameter below the seafloor in the North Atlantic suggests more than one asteroid may have hit Earth during the time when the dinosaurs went extinct. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, but dear Blood River family, listen, we're letting Mr. Alfred roll. He's really amazed me. He knows a lot more. He has a lot broader base of knowledge than I thought he did. We were just conversing during the break, Ms. Alfred and Monica. So what I'm going to do, if it's okay with Monica, we're going to just let him roll because Alfred has already agreed to come back again. So we're going to let him roll. And I'm just going to record questions. I might ask one if we have a pause before we end the show tonight. But God bless him. He's coming back. And so we'll save our questions. And with that, we'll go, Mr. Pence. If that's cool with you, Miss Monica, we can just let him, Alfred, roll. And Miss Monica, you kind of be the rudder of the ship for the rest of this show.
Okay, go for it, Alfred.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, what I was talking about just before the break was that we need to reach people in language or pictures or symbols or whatever that they understand, okay? Like a bird will chirp with another bird and, you know, a dog will bark with another dog. And we have to reach people with whatever they understand at the level that they're at and what they can deal with. And also make them understand that we are involved in something that is not a game. This is a fleeting opportunity for them to now come on board, and if they don't come on board, they will regret it for the rest of their lives, and their lives will soon be over. And the people that I'm dealing with now at the parole office, for example, I told them very clearly, you know, I don't even care what you believe or don't believe, but you need to understand that whatever happens here in this room, our conversation is going out on the web. I don't care what you prohibit or don't want to hear. You know, you want to disallow me from doing that, but I don't care what you allow me to do or don't allow me to do, because I'm going to do it. It's everything is coming up. Everything is being exposed. Everything is coming to light. And you don't have to feel bad about having believed the lies. But as of this point forward, I'm telling you, I'm showing you the evidence here. You can no longer claim after this point in time that you did not know. And your flimsy excuses to brush away the evidence, it's going to come and haunt you. Okay? And there's a point where it goes from ignorance to treason. And you cannot claim ignorance, because from now on, I know your name and you're registered. You've got the evidence. From now on, it is treason if you do not start working with us, cooperating with us. And I also tell them this also. I say, you know, that even your superiors are feeding us like information and feeding us stuff, like stepping stones, if you will, to move this thing forward. And if you, at your level, think you can stop this, rethink that again, because this is going to blow you right out of the water, because everyone is waking up. And the receptivity to stuff that was until now, impossible to look at for people, this receptivity is changing, because they see that the world is collapsing around them, and now they want to know what's going on, because their time of fun and games and a frivolous life is over. Now we're getting into a do or die life and death struggle, and that will affect everybody.
Yeah, it's really good to put it in those terms where everybody has to get on board. You see, because you have so many people who are just wanting to go along. They're in the system. They're just kind of nervous. They can see that things are not going well. They can see that things are collapsing around them, but they just think, well, if I just hang on a little longer, I'll still get my paycheck. Everything will be fine. Maybe it'll blow over. Well, no. It is a life and death struggle, and everybody has to get on board. I think, you know, that's very, very good that here you are at your meetings with your parole officer. It's probably very unusual for them to have these kind of conversations with somebody who comes out. Yeah, do you want to carry on with some more of that, Alfred, or talk about some prison stories and stuff?
Well, okay, I'll go to my most recent prison experiences there. Okay, I was in solitary confinement for 558 days because of this corona nonsense, because they knew that if I was mixing with all the other prisoners, because they were seeing what I was doing, I was giving them all the information, and nobody would have been wearing that silly mask anymore if I would have been able to mix with these other, I call them the orcs. But then three weeks before I got released, they lifted the mask mandate, you know, that the orcs didn't have to wear masks anymore. So I was allowed to, they opened my cell and I could mix with the other prisoners when the cells were opened up, kind of thing. And I could not believe how quickly, in a short time, just meeting, connecting with people I had never seen before, and within a few words, you could see if they were on the same wavelength. And it seems that everywhere, people were just figuring everything out themselves, which was not the case before. And the energy that one could feel, that it was so energizing to engage with these people, because there wasn't any silly discussions about, oh, you're this, oh, you're that, or this is conspiracy theory and all that kind of blah, blah, blah. It's like they were, this is a biological process of when you find someone who was exactly on the same wavelength. It just builds a harmony that is indescribable, and at the same time, one feels ever increasing. Rage or contempt for people who feign ignorance and walk around with a mask, for example. If I see someone walking around now with a mask, I mean, I was in the prison time when I was in prison, and when I was in the courtyard, I get 60 minutes of fresh air a day. When I was in this courtyard, sometimes you'd have a couple of wardens transporting a few prisoners across the yard that I was in, and I'd see them, they'd have their masks on, and I would scream at them and say, "Hey, you gotta stick your finger up your ass, because the corona snakes and COVID monsters like to crawl up the behind, you know?" I mean, if they are mocking us, like they are mocking us, and we can, and when somebody is mocking you, you cannot engage with them in a serious tone. You have to mock them back. And when I see somebody walking in a store now with a mask on, I mean, I really had to hold myself back after coming out of prison, not to have the same, you know, do the same thing, because then they'd freak out, like, who's this guy? To hold back and actually watch them, it's just pathetic. Because you see, you're like, you're an old lady. I say, "Hey, you got to stick your finger up your ass. I mean, come on, the coronas are going to come up the behind." I mean, you know, how can you take these people seriously? And if these people begin to understand they are being laughed about, I mean, people just laugh about them. I mean, eventually it's going to hit them. And the later in time that they come around and understand that, the more they will have to do to make up for the lost time and the lost honor, the lost respect. I mean, let's face it, if you get caught on stage doing something absolutely disgusting and stupid, how are you going to make that good again? I mean, you know, you're going to be a laughing stock of the whole town, like the village idiot, if you will. You know what I mean? That's what people have to understand. Nobody wants to be the last one to figure it out. And the price they will be more than eager to pay goes up and up and up. If the price was 2 traitor heads, you know, yesterday, well, that's not good enough anymore. Today, you've got to bring a whole, you know, shopping cart full of traitor heads if you want to sit at our table. And maybe by tomorrow, there's no amount of traitor heads will do. I mean, it's too bad. You just missed the boat, and you're nobody wants to be with you anymore.
Yeah, it's go ahead, Eddie.
I gotta say this one thing. I swear, yeah, it's like we have blood memory, because I've done the exact same thing you say. Instead of telling people to stick their finger up their ass, I'll tell them to get you a Kevlar plug to stick up your ass, because I said the virus has learned not to go through the mask, because it's easier to go up through your ass. So I said, if you just put a plug up your ass, you will not have to wear those stupid masks anymore. It may be a little bit uncomfortable, you know, but yeah. In fact, you can go down to Walmart. They've got these new Kevlar, these bulletproof ass plugs. I mean, I'm just ridicule them. Just shower them with just contempt and hatred. Let's see, I had one more question to ask. I'm going to shut up.
Please do.
In fact, I hate to even slow him down. I'm just one of the most amazing people I've ever seen. You know, Alfred, you said that, you know, if these people don't wake the hell up and get into the fight, they're going to die sooner than they can imagine. Would you expand upon that a little bit? These people, how are they going to die sooner than imagine?
Yeah. Let me put it this way. A line that I could use because of the point in time that I came out of prison, and I want to run that line by you. And it goes like this. You cannot even imagine how many millions of politically correct vaccinated zombies are out there that would do anything if they could to trade their coffin for my cell, because the music is starting, so
yeah, we have to go back to a break. Hold that thought. Be right back, folks. Hang on, this is our last break.
This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. Freedomfactor.org.
God bless you, people, Blood River Radio. This has been the most exciting night I've ever had. It's a good time, too, because I was just a dead drop. I'm training for the marathon. We had never run when you're 75 years old. Try not to run with too many 25-year-olds, that's for sure, because they'll flat put it on you. But, you know, people, I'd just like to say this. So many of our people that Mr. Alford is addressing, what they're doing is they're building their own prison, and they love living in it, in their prisons. But, you know, Alford, I was telling you, I'm just totally captivated by you, brother. In fact, I'm so excited, I forgot kind of what the hell I was saying. So, Miss Monica, would you like to steer us back to where we belong? Because I'm
sure.
Kind of halfway.
And I think Alfred, you were done with that thought, but just to restate it.
Let me recap that thought, because then the music started. I says, at this point in time, I says, you cannot imagine how many millions of politically correct vaccinees are out there that would do anything they could, if they could, to trade their coffin with my prison cell. Because I'm out of my prison cell talking to you now, but they will never come out of their coffin. And had they used their brain or their fists, then they would be in. They would still be around. And I want to run one little prison story by you, and then you can ask questions. And when they came to my prison cell and asked me if I wanted to make an appointment for a vaccination, I told them. I says, you know, through the little door there where they opened the thing, I says, you know, the doctor that comes too close to me with a needle, he won't have any teeth left because I have a fist and I'm going to knock his fucking teeth out. And then they says, oh, Mr. Schaefer, don't be so violent. I says, it's not violent. It's a self-defense, pure self-defense. And at that point in time, they were still all, you know, hysterical about that. But at the end, when I was released, they were all coming around and they were starting to understand. And they says, Schaefer's right, you know. So that's it. Like, people have to engage the system, and it's so easy to engage the system and just see what happens. I mean, they come against us with words and threats and so forth, but that's all it is words and threats. And you have to take a chance, and you know what happens. I mean, look at all the pilots who chose to quit rather than get vaccinated. They're still alive, you know. How many others are sick now or dying and so forth, you know? Anyway, that was.
Yeah, go ahead, Eddie. You had something
to say. I
just
want to interject this. On the first hour, I brought this case up. Houston, Texas is a giant city. And they also have a giant hospital. We have a Methodist hospital system. We have a huge Methodist University hospital here in Memphis. But there's a larger one in Houston, Texas, I hear. And they were one of the first hospital in the United States to have the COVID vax, the COVID jab mandate. Well, guess what? They're all on the verge of having this shut down because of lack of help. And you know why they have a lack of help? Because they have like 400 or 500 employees out sick with the COVID that were fully vaccinated and got all the boosters. They had all that crap, yet they're laying home on death's door because even after they took the vaccines, and like Alfred said, Gene came on the night. His family members were forced, they had to get the vaccine, the jab, for their jobs and stuff. Well, and his wife got the jab. Gene did not get the jab, but his wife got the COVID before he got it. Gene had it, like, he's about 2 weeks. It was pretty tough on him, but he survived it, and he's an older guy like me. And everybody, his family got the jab. They got the COVID. But anyway, back to you, Miss Monica. I just wanted to chip that in. You were so right. You were a prophet, Alfred. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yeah, I mean, when they say they got the COVID, they haven't even isolated the COVID thing. So really, they're just calling every sickness COVID. I mean, you know,
bingo.
They do this test. But yeah, but they've never even isolated it. So, but anyway, right. Alfred, you had referred to the astronauts in jail. Why didn't you tell us about the astronauts that came to offer to see if they could find some kind of a snakes things down your throat and how you handle that?
Okay, yeah, one time this was, there's two astronauts, they got these white costumes on and so forth, and when they opened the cell door and these two astronauts are standing there, I knew what they wanted. They wanted to test me, you know, run a cotton swab up my nose or something. So I told them very calmly, I says, I'm going to spit on the table here, and you can run your cotton swab through that. And if you can't find any coronas in there, then you cup your hands like this. And I showed them, you know, cup my hands. I says, you cup your hands like this, I'll shit in your hands, and you can taste them for corona snakes. And then they left. An hour later, the wardens came back and they says, Mr. Schaefer, you're going to be transferred out to the COVID tract, you know. So they had to pack all my stuff, and I moved on down another part of the prison there. And there I was, and this was like an upgrade, because then I was being served, instead of having the regular wardens and so forth, you know, taking care of me like that, they were these all astronauts. And most of these astronauts were like young women or young men. And I was able, when I was going from my prison cell to the courtyard for my fresh air, to actually communicate with them. And it's amazing. These people, although they were wearing, these astronaut costumes because of this COVID show, they, most of them, I told them, I said, this is rat poison. I mean, whatever you do, don't get injected. And if you did, it's like drinking out of a poisoned well. If you're not yet dead after the first cup, maybe the second one will kill you, or the third one will. But every single cup that you drink more out of that well will bring you a huge step closer to death. And most of them would say, oh, no, I'm not vaccinated. They don't want us to say it loudly, but I'm not going to get vaccinated. You see, so there was, it's amazing how many people, despite
Alfred,
in this COVID regime.
We won't tell anybody, right, Eddie? We won't tell anybody that they said that out loud.
We sure won't. We surely will not.
Go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted.
We'll take the secret to our grave.
Yeah. Anyway, then on the second day after being transferred out, after having refused that test, I had that stork raven show. And that was like a real spiritual thing that happened. And it was like a wink and a nod from God Almighty that says, you're on the right track, keep going. It was an incredibly rewarding a spiritual thing where I was in tears for joy when this thing happened. That Stork and Raven show is a story for itself. I know Monica had printed it out on the internet. And these are the things that happen, you know. And when you engage the system, and it's like it's not a participation sport. It's not a spectator sport. It's a participation thing. We have to participate in this thing because they are out to kill us. And if we allow them to do it, they will kill us. I mean, that's what these rat poison injections are all about. And this is the moment that every single person on this planet has got to take a position on this. And we could actually have this thing overnight, basically, if everybody stood up and says, no more, not with me. That's it, you know.
Amen. If we could get 25%.
Yeah, so that's where we're at.
Go ahead,
anyway,
Eddie.
I was just saying, I'm totally amazed. You know, you said something earlier, I can totally identify with. You said that you're in an African prison, with staff with Germans, and they spoke all these different languages. Well, I can totally identify with that because I came up in a very, very rough, one of the roughest parts in the Mid-South, in Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi. And it was, overwhelming black. And they spoke with the, quote, we call it Ebonics. You can't understand these black people here in a black town. You call them orcs. We call them something else. But, I mean, they're just, and I'll say it, some of them have a little higher intelligence. Most of the ones that have white blood mixed in them, but they're just like subhuman. I call them humanoids. And anybody that's lived around these people, and I'm sure you know, you can identify with it, they're just not with us. They're not the same species we are. They're like like Gene Andrews calls them feral animals. And that's just the facts of life. I don't know why God made them that way, but he did. But, you know, we're getting close to running out of time. But, you know, Alfred, what we're always dealing in solutions here. Monica can tell you about that. But what can we do that we're not doing right now? Is there anything, any ideas you have that we can get these people woke up? And if we can't wake them up, what can we do to keep from going to our doom? Because we all know who's trying to do it. So any solutions that you have, Alfred?
Well, I think the solution is sort of coming. It's coming. It's growing now. It's an organic thing, and the fact that like my own encounters now with people, and also on the train when I'm traveling and so forth, it's amazing how quickly I encounter people who are completely up to speed, up to date, and on our side. And so what we are doing, we just continue to package the message in language that is understandable, and also making it clear the consequences of not coming around is treason in the end. Okay, the higher somebody is in our society, the more they are obliged to be on our side, or they will be treated as traitors. And treason, there's a reason why treason has always carried the death penalty, because no living organism can tolerate treason within its own borders. I mean, if you get germs coming into your body, they just get creamed. I mean, they just get destroyed, or you die. It's, you know, and this is what this is. What's happening here is we are now experiencing a life-threatening condition that we have to overcome or we die, and that's treason. And making people understand the severity of that ought to jolt them awake. And this, I see it happening now. We could actually almost sit back and just watch it happen, but it's not our thing to sit back and watch. It's our thing to keep
fighting. I like what you said earlier,
brilliant,
Alfred. Engage the system whenever we can with whatever method or whatever. If they're trying to make us get a vax, you just don't get a vax. You don't get the injection.
Yeah.
If they're trying to make us wear a mask, you don't. You don't participate.
Yeah,
talk to the businesses that are like, go en masse to the business and say, look, we're not going to stand for this. Just stop it. Like, you're just participating in going along to get along. And just make it clear to them that is not the way it's going to go. So engaging the system, I think that's was perfect how you said that earlier.
Yeah, and we don't have to be aggressive or anything. Like if somebody says, oh, you're supposed to put a mask on here or something, you say, oh, geez, I must have just I just must have slipped down. I didn't notice. I mean, if they're being stupid with us, we'd be stupid with them. You know, like feel out every situation and I also say this: every single Olympic athlete or Olympic runner started off as a little baby crawling on all fours and just went out with curiosity and took a chance. Oh, that's the end.
Brother Alfred, you're an amazing man. You are brilliant, my brother. What a treat to have you on. Miss Monica, please stay in contact. Although I know you will. And we have to get Alfred back on ASAP. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on, Alfred. God bless you, brother. And God bless you, Sister Monica.
Thank you, Eddie.
Yes.
Thank you for having us. I'm going to try to get my internet thing working properly.
Thank you. And you certainly need to start writing a book. to start with one book. Dear Blood River Radio audience, you've heard it. We've had a fantastic show tonight, one of the best we've ever had. Thank you so much, Monica. Thank you so much, Brother Alfred. Thank you, Cameron, for making us run flawless. Thank you, Blood River Radio audience. Same time, same place next week, the 27th. Good night, everybody.